Well, hey, good morning, family. Let's all stand together. We're going to celebrate all mornings. We have some baptisms happening. Let's start out by lifting our praise to the Lord. Here we go. Celebrate some members of our family as they declare their faith in Christ through baptism. So you may be seated, and I'm pretty sure Pastor Dave is coming soon.
Fam, how are you doing? One more time. How are we doing, everybody? All right. This is a good day. We were just in this font not too many weeks ago, and here we are again. So I just would submit to you that this is the mark of a church where the Spirit is alive and moving. And so we are excited that three young adults will be coming down to tell their story of what Jesus is doing in their life and how he has renewed them. It is a pleasure to know each of these young people. Suzanne and I have gotten to know each of them a little bit better this summer as we gather along with Katie and Dan and down at the farm and our weekly young adult gatherings. And so it is a celebration. This is first person up is someone I didn't even know up until about 2 or 3 months ago. She is new to our church. Can you please make her feel welcome? This is Miss Keddie Seitz. Keddie, come on down. Give her a hand. So Keddie and I, like I said, first met a couple months ago, and we've had a lot of chance to talk the past couple weeks, the past week in particular. And Keddie, you have a story to tell. And I want, as we're listening to these testimonies today, I want you to just celebrate God's diversity, how Keddie's story is not your story, and vice versa. And so, but every one of these stories has something common, and I think it's the verse that Keddie is going to reference at the end. Keddie, in a few moments, we are going to take you, and as us Baptists do, we are going to completely submerge you in that water because the old Keddie is gone, and we are celebrating the new Keddie. And so we are buried with him in baptism, but just as Christ was raised in the power of the Father, Keddie will be raised, has been raised to walk in the newness of life. So that's what we're going to symbolize today. Keddie, will you let us know a little bit about what Jesus is doing in your life?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. My name is Keddie. I'm very grateful to be here today. For my family and friends that are here to bear witness what is happening today, I'm very grateful, and it means a lot to me. I want to tell you why I am here and why I am doing what I am doing. I grew up in a Christian home, thanks to my loving parents, but my relationship with God has always been a rocky one. Throughout my life, I experienced a lot of loss and had led my mental health not to being the best condition. About 3 years ago, a very traumatic event happened where God gave me a second chance at life. Knowing He gave me a second chance at life, I turned back to God and began to reach for a relationship with Him. I went back to church and prayed more, and my relationship with God has been growing so much. Being baptized for me is a way of honoring God and all that He has done for me. By publicly dedicating my life to Him, I know that it is because of God that my mental health and my life has improved so much. So I feel like getting baptized is the next step in dedicating my life to Him. It is because of His ultimate sacrifice that my sins are wiped away and cleaned, and I can live a life of peace with Jesus by my side. Psalms 23, verses 1 and 2 say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Sorry. It didn't print out. Oh, my goodness. God has guided me to have, and I am so excited for the future He is guiding me into. I am so thankful for everyone who has supported me to get to where I am today. I also reflect on 2 Corinthians verse 5:17, which says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here."
So, Keddie, something that we had a chance to talk about, and even though the verse was clipped there, yeah, is how you are trusting God in a way that you have not before. And there is a peace in your life that you simply did not have. And what we talked about was that peace comes from knowing that you are right with your God. And so, Keddie, do you trust today? Do you want to say publicly that you are trusting in Jesus Christ only for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
And have you traded the citizenship of this world for citizenship in heaven?
Yes.
Because of what He's done. Awesome. So it is time. Who is here to support you today? If you love Keddie, would you give me a whoop whoop? All right, there we go. There's a couple of hands. And I know there's a couple more people that love Keddie. Where are you? Miss Jenny Thayer and Mark Thayer have been in your life, and so grateful to them and their faithfulness, and really just an emerging friend group that you have here. Yeah. And so, Keddie, you ready?
I am.
Okay, so grab this arm. Keddie, my sister, it is my privilege in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to baptize you. You are buried with him in baptism and raised now to walk in the newness of life.
Good morning, Perry Hall. Pastor Chris and I fight over who gets to do the baptisms, and that's not really true because we both feel such an honor to be able to do this. It's my privilege to have two more baptisms today with Giselle and Brennan, and just wanted to call Giselle down here now, Giselle Hernandez, and she's going to join us. And before we let Janelle speak, I'd just like to know, who's here with Giselle today? Who's here? There's definitely people here. Where are they? Over here, yeah. Now listen, all you with Giselle, you know, you're like way over there. You sure you don't want to sit in the front row? Okay. So, guys, just a reminder, Pastor Chris alluded to this a little bit. This is a chance for these folks to tell you how much they love the Lord publicly and to talk about what he has done in their lives. So we're excited to hear just one story after another of what God is doing in the lives of these people. Thrilled to have Giselle here at our church. She's relatively new, and she is another rugby player, it seems like. So there's a lot of rugby going on around this church. But why don't you share your story a little bit and stay close to this.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Giselle Hernandez. I'm a junior at UMBC, and I'm so grateful and blessed to have the support of my family, friends, and the overall church community. Now, I want to share a little bit of my story of why I made the decision to get baptized today. I was raised in a Christian household, and from a young age, Jesus was always a large part of my life. I knew he would always be there for me when I needed him, the key word being needed. I took his love for granted. I used to tell myself that he would always be there later, and I kept pushing him away. I used to blame him for all the things that didn't go right in my life, and which led me to having a sin problem that I didn't realize because I was so caught up with my worldly desires and the desire to please man. It was at the end of my freshman year of college that I realized how broken I was and that I couldn't find a way out. I turned to the Lord for guidance, and he led me to Perry Hall Baptist. I started attending church regularly, building a community here, and listening to God's word. But I still live my life satisfying my worldly desires. After hearing a sermon earlier this summer about being a lukewarm Christian, a specific verse stood out to me, Revelation 3:15. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It was the same night after the sermon I fully accepted Jesus into my heart. I began to understand that I was an imposter living in fear, and I could not continue to live my life this way. This feeling of being stuck in the middle is something I grappled with a lot, because I was waiting for the perfect timing. In Acts 22:16, it says, "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." I'm getting baptized today because I'm tired of living this lukewarm and sinful lifestyle. My desire has been deepened to follow our Father, serve in his name, and do all that I can to experience the grace God has given me today. Thank you. Amen.
So, Giselle, thank you for that, and you did really, really well. And is it your desire, if we could sum it up, to say to everybody watching that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior today?
Yes.
Is it your desire, as you stand before this crowd here today, to say, It's my desire to live for His glory.
Yes.
Well, amen, sister. Based upon your profession of faith and your love for the Lord, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you grab here. Ready? Buried in the likeness of His death. Raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Awesome. So both Ketty and Giselle are new to our church, relatively new to our church. This next young man, his family's been around quite a while, so I'm going to invite Brennan Eibner into the baptismal pool. So who's with this young man today? Is there anybody here in his family? Look at that crowd back there. And I know some of them. Well, look, brother, let's hear your story, okay?
All right. My name is Brennan Eibner. My story feels a little bit different than some of the other ones that we've heard in these last few weeks. I can't pinpoint the day of my salvation. I was raised in a Christian household. We not only went to church, but everybody in it inspired me through their own walks, especially in difficult circumstances. But for many years, I struggled with the fact that I'll never be able to earn my own salvation. I desperately wanted to be able to point to my own works and my own life as the reason for my salvation, rather than the perfect saving grace of Jesus. This fundamental error led me to gaining biblical knowledge, but lacking a personal and saving relationship with the Lord. After my senior year of high school, this started to drastically change. I was recruited to play soccer at my dream school, but a month before graduation, my plans were completely upended, and I was left picking up the pieces of my future, stunned and brokenhearted. I was faced with the sobering fact that I did not hold the reins, and that I need to trust in the sovereign plans of the Lord. This theme continued for the following 2 years, and through difficult circumstances, the personal relationship that I once lacked began to sprout. Then this past spring, my life was turned upside down again. On April 9th, I got the news that one of my best friends and former teammates had suffered a traumatic brain injury, and a few days later, he passed away. My heart was once again broken, and I suffered a pain and a grief that I had never known before. Yet through this immense pain, I had overwhelming joy and peace. My friend had come to know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior just a year prior, and I have no doubt that he is home now. Amen. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." I know this to be true, and I have witnessed the peace and comfort of the rock eternal. Today it is my desire to run after the Lord. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself, but can only be forgiven through the death and resurrection of Jesus. I know that my heart of stone is being transformed into one of flesh, and I trust that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to bring it to completion.
Just a quick note, moms and dads in this audience, sometimes our kids' journey is not at the speed that you would like it to be as it relates to the Lord. I think all parents would say, boy, if my kids could just be running after the Lord at age 8 for the rest of their lives. But God's timing is perfect. He is sovereign. Moms and dad, if you're still waiting for some of your kids to take a turn and back to the Lord or to the Lord for the first time, and to use Brennan's word, to run after him, please trust the Lord with your children and continue to love them, continuing to guide them, and continuing to trust the Lord. And look at the circumstances in Brennan's life that God used for the very right moment to bring him to where he is today. Christian home, circumstances, a church that loves him, and here we are today for Brennan to stand up and say, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen?
Amen. Well, Brennan, it's your desire today to say that Jesus is the Lord of your life.
It is.
Not only Savior, but Lord.
It is.
Amen. And it's your desire to live your life now for His glory. And I love the words, I'm running after Him. So I join you and all of us join you in that. We couldn't be more excited for you and Ketty and Giselle today. So based on your profession of faith, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you grab here, I'm going to bury you in the likeness of His death. Let's go. Raised in the newness of life, resurrection, that's all we have for a couple more weeks, and then we have a whole new group coming in. So, music team, back up.
The Lord together one more time. Yeah. Lord, stand with us. It's exciting to get a chance to hear testimonies of what the Lord is doing. But even more exciting, I think, as I was sitting there, special as a family, for us to sit there and to see that. Because now, family, we have this really wonderful responsibility to now encourage our brothers and sisters as they continue, or our brother and sisters, as they continue in their walk with Christ. And so we get to encourage them in the things we're going to sing about. We're going to sing about trusting. We're going to sing about focusing our hearts on the Lord. And so for those of us who we consider ourselves to be more mature, maturing in our walk, now we have this responsibility. Now we are accountable because we've sat and we've encouraged and clapped and prayed with. So now we're accountable to encourage our brother and sisters in their walk with Christ. And that is a precious responsibility. Let's take advantage of that. Amen? Amen. Let's do our duty as unto the Lord and encourage our family. Let's be encouraged this morning as we remind ourselves of the truths of Scripture and sing them together. Let's sing together.
Jesus, Savior, friend,
and
turn our hearts and our minds and our attention, our focus to you. As we've heard, even in testimonies, even in the light of trials and temptations and difficulties in life, Lord, when we look to you, Lord, we see encouragement and strength and hope. God, help us to turn our minds and our hearts to you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light.
Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You may be seated. Let's continue this morning. Worship with Pastor Chris.
Okay, young people, it is time. Are they already gone? Did they leave while I was gone? Young people, are you still here? No, you're leaving now. Can we get everyone to leave via this door today? If we could do that, that would help us enhance just keeping track of everybody. Thank you, Andrew, for your right-hand turn. It is good to see everybody. If you are visiting us today, just another welcome. We're excited to have you. Excited to just kind of put up there three stories of what God is doing in our young people's lives. I have a couple of announcements for you. By the way, my name is Pastor Chris, which I don't think I've said today. At the end, would you come up and just interrupt Dave or I and just say, hey, and just let us know what your name is and just a little bit about yourself. We would love to meet you. And when 300 or 400 people swarm around, it's hard to make a beeline to each of our visitors. So I'm asking you to come and maybe just interrupt us because we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. I see a bunch of new faces in the crowd. Handful of announcements. Ongoing large-scale relief project. We want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of it as a group. I know a lot of you have moved to generosity almost immediately, but I just want to remind you of a couple of different ways. We're partnering with Samaritan's Purse and also a local organization called Somebody Cares Baltimore. They have the logistics in mind, the warehousing capability to accumulate the aid, and then we will get it to them, and or you can get Amazon to give it to them. And if you've never tried this, on Amazon there's these wish lists that are really well done. It even specifies the number of things that they need. So sometimes we wonder, do they really still need this? Or do they need 7,000 cases of water and whatnot? But the wish list will specify that so that our aid is actually getting to the people in the right proportions. And so just a reminder of that, there's a newsletter that will have all of the full list of donation requests. A couple other things. This Friday evening at the farm, the Young Adults are gathering. We gather once a month, guys and girls together. This is our time. We're going to meet up at 5, have fun for an hour or so while the sun's still up. Then we'll bring it in and have some food. Food is always good. And then we'll just dig into God's word and just hang out for a little bit. So Friday evening, invite a friend. All three of the young people that were up there today have that in common. It's a gathering that they were attending this summer. Something really cool and healthy is happening. And so if you're wondering, hey, should I? You should come. You should just come and check it out. Because deep down inside, you know you would like to be connected to some other people. So take that risk and come on out. I appreciate the young people that have been doing that. And along those lines, Katie Walker has been meeting with young ladies every other week, time and time again. Is this an on week or an off week? Is this a yes week or a no week? Somebody who's good. It's a yes week. It's a yes week. So this Thursday is a yes week. Thank you. And so every other week, including this Thursday, young ladies get together. The young adult women get together with Katie at her house. And if you'd like to be a part of that, once again, come interrupt me or track her down. Although I think she is actually with some friends this week away. She told me that. And then the guys are going to get together. We're going to start something up on Monday evening at our house. We're also going to be working through that Disciplines of a Godly Man book. And so if you're interested in that at all, and you are between ages 18 and 25, knock on my door figuratively. I think we have one more announcement. Oh, I know what it is. There's no slide. Next week, we are going to, in an effort to just keep freshening up the website and keep showing people what we are all about, we're going to have a photographer taking pictures during our worship time. And so that's not sacrilegious. It's really just showing the joy that we have. It's not disrespectful to what's going on here. In fact, it's really just a great way to share with people that there's something vibrant and life-giving going on at Perry Hall Baptist Church. And so you will see her. It is our very own Tracy Dietrich, who has been very faithful, along with several other capable photographers like you saw today. We had Angie up there, and she will just be trying to share our story, and so just expect that. And we might do that again a few times in the future as well, so keep your eyes fixed on Jesus like we were singing all about, and Tracy will take care of the pictures. Hey, I'm going to pray for us as we get ready to open up the Word, and would you bow your heads, and we'll prepare our hearts. Father, I just feel alive. I feel alive in you. I'm just grateful for what you are doing in our midst. Grateful for the reminders of new life. We sang today of the lion awakening inside of us, Lord. I just confess that you have always been alive and that you have awakened us. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of Brennan and Giselle and Ketty. And Lord, I trust in many more people in this room who are awakening to the fact that you are neither a tame nor safe lion. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the mighty one, the one who is strong to save. Jesus, we want to celebrate that. We want to deepen our appreciation of that as we open up your word, as we turn again to Ephesians 4, and we dip into the wonder of what it means for you to fill all things, the wonder of what it means that you would fill a body with lowly and fallen human beings just like us. Father, I pray that you would help us focus. Father, I just confess that the cares of the week, as trivial as they are, so often get in the way. I know that the phone can get in the way. I know that what happened 20 minutes before we pulled up to the church parking lot can sometimes get in the way of our hearts. But Father, we just want to shed all of that. We want to turn our eyes to you, just as we were singing today. So Spirit, would you help us do that? Would you help us focus on that? Father, collectively and individually, we are a fallen, imperfect group, being transformed by your grace day by day. Lord, I pray if there's anything that we brought into the room that does not belong here, that you would bring it to mind, that we would offer it up to you, so that we may hear from you with our hearts undistracted and undivided by sin. Thank you for your response to humble confession time and time again. You are who you say you are. You are long-suffering and you are full of abundant grace. And that is what we want to celebrate today. And it is in your Son's name that we pray, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. I keep trying to do my best to dress like Pastor Chris. I didn't know about the long sleeve black shirt underneath. Doggone it. I'm trying my best. But I am redeemed. Amen. Amen. And afterwards, we'll take some pictures with the other folks wearing the redeemed shirts. If somebody didn't say it, on the 17th, we will do this again. We have several more people ready to enter into that public picture, that public display of baptism. If you have your Bibles, please turn before Ephesians. We're going to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. To kick us off for our second week, we'll be in Ephesians 4, but as far as our second week in 7 to 16. But here is chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now, Perry Hall and our guest, here's a little bit of a picture of the schedule over the next couple of weeks as we seek to be faithful in our engagement of culture and in a divided country and in some cases divided churches. Here's what I would like to do. I originally thought that I would preach today's message and then I would end the message with an application that would relate to where we are as a church in the culture we live in, and I'm speaking directly related to the divide politically and all those things. But I did not want to shortcut this sermon, so here's what we're going to do. Next Sunday, I will preach a sermon that will be all scripture, strictly from the scriptures, but that will help us navigate through this difficult season. So that will be next week. Joining me next week will be Jeff Trimbath from the Maryland Family Institute. We will do sort of a missions moment with Jeff, just a few minutes. And Jeff will be here to speak on this proposed constitutional amendment that's on the ballot. If you have not already voted, I would ask you to wait until you hear next week. That is up to you whether you do or don't. But if you have not voted yet, I would like you to wait or at least consider waiting, because I think we need to make sure we are not ignorant. That doesn't mean anybody here is ignorant. It's that we're prepared to vote in a way that honors the Lord, especially in light of this constitutional amendment proposal. So that will be next Sunday. That is the 27th. And then that following Wednesday evening, in my Wednesday night pastor's class in this room, I will go much deeper than I can on a sermon and try to help you answer questions that you may have about this election upcoming and about how we are to live in a world that is broken and difficult and where sin abounds. So we'll do that next Sunday and the following Wednesday. As we desire to honor the Lord in all that we do, even as citizens of this nation. So that will be next week. And sadly, some of you will be more excited than that and than you are about Ephesians. But don't get too excited.
because the whole thing will be in God's word. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For no one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you still more excellent way. And then he goes on to talk about love. So, this sermon is not about spiritual gifts. And wouldn't you love to answer all those questions right now? This sermon is about the unity and diversity within the body as God uses all of us to build his church. But there's a couple thoughts that come out of 1 Corinthians that help set the tone for our discussion. One is that the Spirit, these are spiritual gifts of pertaining to the Spirit of God. Spiritual gifts. Somebody the other day, I asked him if they were a Christian, and they said, no, I'm spiritual. Well, spiritual, to be biblical, would be to be speaking of the Holy Spirit. To be spiritual then would be to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And while there's a lot of confusion in this particular passage, the thing that I want you to hear, that this is intended to build the body, that we individually have been gifted to build up the body of Christ, to do our part, which is our message today. But I also want you to see that the end game is the building of the body, not the gifts themselves. One more thought. You will look in your Bibles if you do a study on spiritual gifts, and you will end up looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. You will look at the passage we'll be in just 1 minute, which is Ephesians 4, verses 10 and 11. You will look at Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, and also to 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And you will find somewhere around 20-some gifts listed. I want to help you realize something that's very important. Those lists are not all the same. Those lists list different gifts and some overlapping gifts. Those list of gifts, in my study of the scriptures, are not exhaustive. I want you to hear that. Each believer is given a gift, a spiritual gift, the supernatural empowering for the glory of God. Some are given more, but not all the gifts are listed here. So now let's go to Ephesians. Now with that as a foundation to this idea of gift giving, and let's go to Ephesians 4. Pastor Chris last week did just a wonderful job outlining Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. And the way God led Chris was to frame that section. This is such a wonderful section. Pastor Chris was led to give you seven questions. Questions about, do we all get the same grace? And Chris was perfectly giving the picture of saving grace and serving grace. And then he asked about the therefore. We always got to deal with the therefore. Then Pastor Chris talked about the question, did Jesus ascend to hell? And I believe his exegesis was excellent. And I will tell you this, I believe that he was right on, because I believe that passage speaks to the humiliation of Christ and to the exaltation of Christ, his coming and his ascending. Chris then asked, where have all the apostles gone? Where have all the apostles gone? And he rightfully so taught us that the gift of apostle with a capital A and the gift of prophet with a capital P, they were foundational gifts for the early church to set the foundations for what would be the growing of God's church. In their formal sense, of the first 12, a few others, including Paul, we believe that office is no longer here. He then asked the question, well, what's the goal of all these things? And the goal is that he would fill all in all. And I think Chris made us think, what does that even mean to fill all in all? What is Christ doing when he fills all in all? Chris asked us, how are we to get there in his last two questions? And how do we know we've arrived? That was the beautiful framework of chapter 4, 7 to 16. Chris and I got together and we discussed, do I move on? Or do I say a few things without repeating what he said, other than to inform you of last week's message outline? And what we decided was we would focus in one more time on 7 to 16. And in particular, we would look at three things: the diversity of the body, the equipping of the body, and then finally, the building or the growing of the body. Three simple pieces: diversity, equipping, and growing. So now let's go back to chapter 4 and let's pick up in verse 7 with one of those important buts. But grace was given to each one of us according to the treasure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, quoting Psalm 68:18, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying, parenthetically, he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lowest regions, the earth? He who descended is the same one who also ascended far above all the heavens. And here's this first informative word, that. You know, when we read this passage, you pick up on all the wonderful doctrine, and sometimes we miss all of these words that tell us there's a purpose for what was just said. But all this said in verses 7 through 10, that he, Christ, might fill all in all. What is the Lord doing? He is filling the world with his body. He is filling the world with the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ in his, if you will, second incarnation. Some people would say his first incarnation, he comes in flesh. That's absolutely biblical. Some people will speak of his second advent as a second incarnation. But I don't think it would be too far of a stretch to say that the literal church of Christ, the metaphor that is used over and over of a body, is this incarnation of the body of Christ to fill the earth. Verse 11. To that end, by the way, to fill the world, verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here's another one. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, another big word, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If you are a guest here today, visiting for the first time, or maybe second or third, but this is not your church. You're just a guest. Several of you are visitors because you came to celebrate this beautiful picture of salvation through baptism as a picture. We're so glad you're here. If you're in this sanctuary today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then certainly we pray that God would work in your heart today. But I want to say to you as visitors and to guests, when we preach, Chris, I, and others preach here, our number one focus is to preach the Word of God. It is not that I am called from this pulpit first and foremost to be an evangelist to people that come in here that are not saved. Now somebody's saying, well, wait a second, aren't you supposed to be leading people to Christ? Amen. We want to see people that don't know Christ come to know Christ. But my calling as a pastor in this pulpit, wish it was a pulpit, but behind this thing that's ready to fall apart every time I lean on it, and right now you don't see it, but underneath of here is a cavern being built so that the pulpit will rise out of the floor. That's all lies. It's not true. Wouldn't it be cool, though? Every time I do this, many of you are worried. My role is to preach the word, to teach the truth of the scriptures so that we would be changed to be more like Christ and that we would be equipped. And I'm going to say more about that. And the body would grow and all the things we just read. It is not first and foremost to speak to non-believers. Now, if that sounds crazy to you, feel free to come see me. This is church. And we are here to learn God's word so that we may know Him more, we may live lives of worship unto Him, we would be trained, and we would go out to do the work of the ministry. That is why I'm called to be here as your pastor in part. So I say all that to say this, if you're a visitor, some of this just doesn't make sense, and I do my best to explain it. But I'm speaking first and foremost to people in this room that know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I hope that makes sense. I'm happy to talk to you afterwards. The first six verses of this chapter, the whole section is in some sense a theme of unity in the church. I've entitled the message today, God's Visions for the Church, because I actually believe this is God's vision for how the church should live. I also think we could entitle this section, see if you like this, easy to remember, Grow Up. If you're a believer, grow up. One last one. This section is God's building program. We talk about building programs and they are good and necessary. This is a building program of a different sort. This is how God is building His church that He promised in Matthew 16:18 that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, because He's building His church. He is building His body. And so we started off in verses 1 through 6, especially 5 through 6, focused on the unity. And we saw seven ones, if you look at that in verse 5. Starting with verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so we see that there's a theme that as believers in Jesus Christ in this local assembly, we are one. But we are different. And so today we move past oneness We move past the reality of simply that we've all been given a gift, but we move to this part of the body, which is an absolute beautiful thing. We are not all the same. There is a difference between unity and uniformity. Just as everybody that gives their testimony in baptism, their stories are different. Your stories are different. And when I say we are diverse, I am not in particular referring to that your personality is different than mine. Your background is different than mine. Although that is all true, I am speaking that God made you as a member of a church, as a member of his body, to be you and to be a diverse member of the one body. Now, throughout this section, folks, there is a focus on what would be referred to, and I don't have time to explain it, but in philosophy, the difference or the problem of the one and the many. Here we're speaking about the individuality of individuals as one, but also as one body, and then the many collectively are diverse and we're different. Now, listen to this diversity. Some were gifted. All of us are gifted different. The list here includes apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Whether your study takes you to that means there's four offices in the church or five is maybe a discussion for another day. What I mean by that is the words apostle one, the word prophets two, the word evangelist three, the word pastor four, the word teacher five, and depending, as Chris said last week, on the way the Greek construction is, some have made pastor teacher one. But for today, let's look at apostles and prophets as foundational building blocks of the church, capital A, the apostles, already did their work, and they wrote the scriptures moved by the Spirit of God. And so some people say we need more apostles today because we lack the authority of the apostolic uniqueness of the first century. Well, here's the answer. We have their authority in the scriptures. And so we do not need the apostles, capital A, prophets, capital P. And by the way, almost always in the New Testament, prophecy is proclaiming the word of God, not predicting the future. Evangelists, as we know, there's an office here. These that we're not only gifted, but there's an offices that are that there's gifts of offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists. There are evangelists that have the gift of evangelism. But hear me loud and clear: there is no believer that is not called to evangelize. Every believer is called to share their faith and give testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. But there was some and are some that are called and gifted, especially for evangelism, as almost a vocational calling. Yet every believer is to share their faith. The last two, pastor, teacher. All pastors are teachers. Not all teachers are pastors. So we see two overlapping but different gifts. We have many wonderful teachers in this room. Not all are called to be a pastor elder. The pastor word here is shepherd. You say that again. This would read shepherds and pastors. This is why you will hear me say that I am not a fan of the national movement in the United States that the pastor becomes the CEO of a church. I think pastors can have CEO talents and gifts of administration, and that they can do wonderful leadership things. But before all that, when a pastor says, I really feel my calling is a CEO, I wonder if he really is called to be a shepherd. Said another way, all pastors, by definition, are shepherds. And I am called with the elders by my side to shepherd this congregation. We are called to feed and to protect and to serve. And so God put these gifts in place as the first foundation, in a sense, in this passage, to build his church. And he has the church made up of different people in their giftedness. And folks, I'm going to make each one its own application as we move along quickly. That if you have a heart to serve here and we do not have a ministry yet with your name on it, would you please come see me or Pastor Chris or Mark Thayer? We would love to know where the Lord is calling you to serve with your own particular giftedness. If you're not serving, do you even know your diverse gift? Maybe even one step farther back, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know how God has uniquely made you to serve here? Now, I think it's pretty clear these offices are in place, especially pastor teacher, to help us in our diversity live in unity. Remember what we said, that unity is God made, God created, but we're called to maintain it and attain it. Now, let's look at equipping. After the part of verse 11 with the different offices, then with a big word, T-O, at the beginning in the ESV of verse 12, why did he give these gifts? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, you're going to see this just wonderful progression that the gifting and the unity and the diversity and the walking worthy and Christ-likeness, all the things that we've talked about, are for the building up of the church. But we have this principle first of equipping. This is the role of the pastor, teacher, the leaders, the teachers, to equip the saints. Now, this word equip is wonderful. This originally, in a lot of secular Greek at the time of the writing of Scripture, equipping would be mending nets. It would also be used of a physician who could mend a broken bone. That's the word that is used here, equipping. In our modern day, it's come down to us perfecting, completing, making someone fit for their purpose. That's what the word means, to equip. Part of my call, part of the teaching, the elders here, the teachers, all those that teach, is for us to equip, but primarily for the pastors to equip the members of this church, this local body. Now he says, equip the saints, this is believers, for the work of ministry. This is another important word. We are to equip you, to prepare you, to train you, to help you be who God called you to be within his body. And it says for the work of the ministry. This word ministry is service. This word ministry is from the Greek word diakonos. What do we get from diakonos? Deacon. Same word. This word means to serve. It's a service that we are called together to serve each and every one of you. This could be said another way, that the pastor leaders equip us to do the work of the ministry, to do the work of serving. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom. Same word. Jesus came to serve, to minister, to serve others. Now, folks, this equipping thing is where the pastor on Sundays and the messages that we hear on Sundays as we teach the Word of God and as we passionately explain the Scriptures and tell you what the Scriptures say and what they mean, and then we apply it to our lives so that the church members will do the work of the ministry to be those that are serving, that we would be a church where every member is serving. This is the equipped body. And I can't have somebody come in and get saved today and then all of a sudden they're trained. They're ready to go. No, the Scripture is going to go on to say here they're not ready to go. They need to be trained. Now, a person that was saved today, tomorrow they can run out to the mountaintops and tell everybody what happened in their lives. But I know that when my son Josh was getting ready to go away to college, that was the plan. He was going away to college. Do you know one of the biggest fears I had? Who was going to take out the trash and who was going to mow the lawn? Now, my neighbor cuts, I got the best neighbor in the world. He cuts the back lawn, Josh cuts the front. So, what do I say when Josh is leaving? Don't go, Josh. No, I had a better plan. Addie, I know you're a lady and you think you got chores that don't include cutting the lawn, but you're going to cut the lawn. Your father has no time to cut the lawn. Don't judge. What does Addie say? That's a guy's job. And I think she's right there in many ways. She said, that's somebody else's. That was Josh. I said, Josh ain't here. You got to cut it. What does she say? I don't even know how to use that thing. Now, we have a 60-inch walk behind. Does anybody know what that even means? This is a powerful machine that in the hands of somebody that's never touched it before is dangerous to them and everyone, anybody around. It's difficult to use. It has adjustments for speed and direction and when to turn it on and when to turn it off and security things. And so good for Addison, we have a little lawnmower, little push mower. I said, you can operate this baby. I don't even know how to start the thing. My point there, folks, is I wouldn't send her out on that walk behind. I wouldn't have her cut the lawn. And in God's providence, God changed Josh's direction and he came home 2 weeks later. And everything worked out just fine. So now I say, Addie, clean the house, do the dishes, clean your room. The lawn's just fine. But I also, in spiritual terms, wouldn't say to Addie, can you defend the Trinity? Now, she can in some aspects. Addison, tell me the difference between adoptionism, modalism, Sabellianism, Arianism, and all the other cults around Trinity, Trinitarian doctrine. No, I wouldn't do that. I have to train her first on what is the doctrine of the Trinity as a parent, right? I wouldn't say to my daughter, here's the quiz. Tell me the difference between infralapsarianism and supralapsarianism. Raise your hand if you know those terms. Professor John, anybody else over here? A few. Well, Addison wouldn't know it. Why? She has to be equipped. She needs to be trained. She needs to be discipled so that she could then go and do the work of the ministry. Now you say, well, what happens if we don't? Look down here under this verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, spiritually speaking, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. This is so when you hear false doctrine, when somebody says to you, I'm spiritual, you can ask good questions. When somebody says that the devastating, catastrophic flood of Helene proves that the Lord's coming in the next few weeks, you'll be able to help them understand that they just messed up. Now, please bear with me. The Lord could come in the next 2 weeks, and I would praise the Lord. I had a health scare in the last couple weeks, and I didn't know what the results were going to be. By the way, they were wonderful. But not one moment did I think of worrying, and Cindy has somehow transformed that she's ready for me to go too. She used to always say, I could never live without him. I could never live without him. What will I do? What will I do? I'm so dependent on him, blah, blah, blah. Well, a couple weeks ago, she said, I'm ready. I feel like I'm prepared. Pastor Chris said she's not already looking at dating apps, is she? No, not like that. You know why she's more prepared? She has grown and settled into her faith more and more, trusting the Lord with whatever comes our way. And we were ready to go. We are ready to go. But there's a peace. So yes, if the Lord comes, amen. And I think today we all say, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly, don't we? If you're a believer. But there's part of you says, but wait, Lord, my sibling or my son or daughter or my neighbor does not yet know you. And I so much want them to come to know you before you come again. That's good too, right? There's that pull. I want to go to be with the Lord, and yet there's more to be done. This equipping is to train us so that when people hear nonsense and the pulpits talk about, I remember when Ronald Reagan was president, and I think his name was Wilson. Am I right on that? The middle name was Wilson.
Ronald Reagan Wilson. How many letters in each one of his names? 666. So what was told? That he was the Antichrist. He was... This is the nonsense that goes on. And it gets worse than that. There are churches that name the name of Christ in the name of their church and would say that the Bible matters to them that don't believe in the Trinity or the deity of Christ. We need to train, prepare, equip one another for the work of the ministry. And listen, folks, so that you leave here ready to be agents of change and transformation, which means making disciples. But it starts with the church equipping you. So you come here every Sunday with excitement that I won't miss this for the world. Unless I am providentially deterred, I will be here. Because this is where the Lord is doing some of his greatest work. Well, I study at home, Pastor. Wonderful. That is not all that God has called you to do. And as a matter of fact, I think in the context of small groups, life groups, Bible study, Sunday school, church, sanctuary on Sunday, worship service, this is where God is doing his incredible growing. By the way, where does it say in this chapter, this building up the church is coming from? Within the church. What does this thing say about our summary of the chapter, the book? Christ and his church. This is the book. There's individuals in the church, but this is about the church. That's the equipping. And then the growing. Let's keep going. Verse 13. After it says the ministry for building up the body of Christ, end of verse 12. Until most of us attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Who was listening? Until most of us, or to all of us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ in this room today, you are part of the all. That means that you love the idea of being gifted, one and diverse. You love the idea that God has designed the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Oh, and you love to do the work of the ministry. Now, there's a conversation to be had for health reasons, work reasons, that there may be limitations. There may be limitations on how you work and do the ministry. But I can tell you, those of you that have been limited to simply writing cards, for instance, you are a great, great encouragement to those that receive those cards. To some of you, you can't do anything but make a phone call. You're a great encouragement to the people that receive that phone call, if they'll answer the phone. Some of you are gifted in ways that I can only sit back and envy, and you're called to serve in that way. But all of us are called to participate in the work of the ministry. And while the first in relationship to God, the first priority is his glory. And the first priority task for the believer is to make disciples. We are called together, listen, to grow together. Let's finish this out. Verse 14, not only in verse 13 do we grow in unity. We don't grow unity, we grow in unity. We see verse 13. Let me see. Where's my eyes? Yeah, 13. Until we all attain to the unity. If you remember back in verse 3, it said we are eager to maintain the unity. There's just unity, unity, unity throughout this entire passage. It is God created supernatural unity. We're called to be obedient and to attain it and maintain it. We're called, part of this equipping is that we become more knowledgeable of the Son of God to mature manhood. And then verse 14, another, so that we aren't no longer to be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And every time you hear a new false sermon, you think, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And every time you hear something in the news or on the internet or the false news or whatever all that's called, and you go, oh, this is really cool. Did you see this? Did you see that? Is it biblical? And how do we do that? By being equipped, by training, by personal study, by knowing the Word of God. We become equipped and trained. And we trust those that use the Scriptures. And they don't say, this is what I think. They say, this is what it says. This is so important when we get down here to verse 15. Rather, not tossed to and fro, speaking the truth in love. In the Greek, this would be truthing. Truthing in love. Means to speak the truth and share the truth and love like you know the truth. Speaking the truth in love, that means sometimes we have conversations that are difficult, but we love somebody so much we speak the truth. We look farther. We grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We grow up in every way to Him. He is Christ. He is reigning. He is ascended. He is exalted. And now He is making His body more and more like Him. As a pastor, I share Paul's words from Galatians 4:19, which says, He anguishes like someone in childbirth so that Christ would be formed in believers. That's Pastor Chris's heart. That is the heart of the elders. And it's my heart that this church individually would be formed into the likeness of Christ, that we would be like Christ, that His body would fill all in all. What does that really mean? It means that as we become more and more like Him, the body grows and we put Him on display. Now listen, when we put Him on display, what do people see? What happens when we're growing up? Well, number one, we're stable. We're not pushed around. We're not moving around. We're stable. There's durability, as one pastor says, in the church. There's love abounding in the church. There is grace given to one another. Not only are we graced with gifts, but we give grace to others. But listen, here's what's beautiful. When the body is filling all in all, when Christians are growing and disciples are made and they're making more disciples and believers are filling the world, what do people see? They see that Christ is glorious. They see that He's majestic. They see that He is beautiful. Because Christ is glorious, majestic, and beautiful. And that's what they should see when they see the church. Now, folks, the health of this church at Perry Hall, like every other true church, depends on the faithfulness of our individual and collective witness and testimony. A healthy body where everybody is doing their part. I want to plead with you in closing. If you are not serving, please reach out and we will help you find where you are called, who you are, and help you to be a part of serving here and doing the work of the ministry. I believe this so much, folks. I don't believe we can operate at the effectiveness and look as beautiful as Christ wants us to look if we don't do this in harmony and unity and diversity together. Every member doing their part. Every member being their part. And if you look down here at the end of 16, the whole body joined and held together by every joint with its equipped, which it is equipped. That means that the joints are being supplied. That word equipped is different than up top. This is supplied. Every joint is supplied with what it needs, ligaments and joints. And oh, there's so much more here, folks, but we're going to close. What is God's plan for the church? That we would walk worthy, we would live Christ-like, that we would walk in unity, we would be one, we would live out our diversity, unity, not uniformity, that we would be equipped to do the work of the ministry, we wouldn't be pushed around by false doctrines, even circumstances or suffering, none of that would get in the way of growing, that Christ would build His body, and the world will say,
His body is beautiful. I want to close with just one thought that I think, maybe I won't. Did somebody take my phone? I won't close with that quote. Never mind. I should have brought it up. The quote in essence says that we have somehow gotten blinded by what matters most. Things like good things, raising a family, kids that are active, doing all these things that families do that are really, really good, vacations and things and retirement, when that's not the big picture. The big picture of why we're here is to live for the glory of God, to make disciples, and that the body will be the most beautiful picture of Jesus anywhere. And people will say, isn't that church beautiful? Even before they know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for again blessing us with your word. Father, thank you for your grace to us today. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful picture of a body, which we see so clearly, the analogy of the human body, complex, Lord, multifaceted, interconnected, interrelated. Father, each part perfectly put together, and we see that beautiful picture there of the spiritual body. We pray, Father, that here at Perry Hall, you would encourage us, grow us, build us up so that your body, the church, will fill all in all, that people will see you in us. May you be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us?
Beachmont. We did really, really well. So thank you for coming out. Nearly 600 of us made it out, and that was just wonderful. So thank you for that. You notice this year I didn't voluntold you. I just asked you nicely, and you still came out. So thank you for that. One more piece on the Somebody Cares Samaritan's Purse giving. Samaritan's Purse. Easy Somebody Cares Amazon wish list. But they just sent an urgent request. Number one, they continue to find bodies after bodies after bodies. It's
I was talking to somebody cares. They're on the FEMA talks and all that. And they just said that they're finding, in some cases, water rose up over 50 feet from his 5-foot level. 800 in one particular case, 800 residences, 800 homes were completely demolished at one point. They really need, if you have connections to contractors, suppliers that can supply the tools needed for people to help. So the food is great, the material goods are great, but there's especially an urgent request went out in the last 24 hours or so that we would help with supplies for carpenters and workers to do things that are going to be life-changing and desperately needed. So just add that to your prayer list. Let's pray. Father, may we leave here today. May we be beautiful as your church. May your body be attractive. May people see you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.